Please turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrans. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Now, the last time we were studying from Mark chapter 12, we saw Jesus teaching a crowd of people in the temple. And in the temple area. And he particularly warned them against the scribes. He told them to beware of scribes because they liked attention, they liked position, and they liked possessions. And one of the last things I said about them was that in their desire for possession, in their desire for wealth, they devoured the resources of widows. They were shameless in this, just like many so-called men of God of our day, who devour the resources of the poor and of the weak. In the name of encouraging them to sow a seed that would yield for them much wealth. And they do sow seeds. They never become wealthy. It is the men of God who do. The scribes of those days were like such men. They devoured the resources of the widows. And the widows then were the most vulnerable people in society. In this sermon, Jesus appears to focus on widows, particularly on a widow, a particular widow. He tells us about her in verse 42. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites. So if you care for titles, you may want to call this sermon "The Widow's Mites." This widow was among the people who were bringing their offerings to the treasury. She was bringing her offerings to the treasury, to the collection box, just like everyone else. Some of the people who were bringing offerings were rich. And according to verse 41, they put in much. Others, like this widow, were not so rich. Indeed, there were those who were poor. This particular widow was very poor. She put in only two mites. Now that would have been the equivalent of two small copper coins, which equated to a quarter of a penny. A quarter of a penny. Whatever value that penny had. So she only had small coins. Worthless coins. Now we have coins in our country, don't we? And we don't attach much value to most of those coins. A lot of the coins you have in your home, you don't look at them. You step on them, sometimes you sweep them and throw them away along with the rest of the dirt. Well, such were her mites. They were worthless. they were valueless, particularly in the eyes of the world. But Jesus stood there and he was looking at the people who were bringing their offerings. And he declared that this woman who put only two mites in the offering gave more than those who were putting a lot of money into the offering. The question is, why? Why was the poor widow deemed to have put in more than the wealthy, the rich, who we are told in verse 41 put in much? Well, the Lord supplies two answers, and it is those two answers that I wish to draw your attention to this morning. First of all, we see that she did not give out of her abundance. She did not give out of her abundance. In verse 44, for they put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty. She didn't give out of her abundance. She was poor. That is to say, she lacked in money, she lacked in food, she lacked in the basic necessities of life. She was poor. And she had the sort of poverty that could have turned her into a beggar. This woman had very, very little. And the scribes, who were part of the religious establishment, contributed to this poverty. You recall when we were studying about the scribes in verse 40, perhaps I can read from verse 38, the Lord Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes, who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feast, who devour widows' houses." The scribes contributed to this poverty. They devoured the resources of the widows. The poor widows were being crushed by the religious system of the day. And this widow we are looking at is just an example of the many widows that would have been brought into that situation. But I imagine that although she had no abundance, had she any abundance, had she been wealthy, I suspect that she would have given in a way that would have been worthier, would have been more than the rich people who were giving at this occasion. She did not give out of her abundance. Rather, and this is our second point, she gave out of her poverty. She put in all she had. She gave her whole livelihood. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ describes it here in verse 44. She gave out of her poverty. Now, this kind of giving is similar to what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through to 3, concerning the Macedonians. They are described as having been in deep poverty. Deep poverty. It was really a case of having nothing. And out of nothing, they gave. This kind of giving reminds me of a ministry called Lighthouse Outreach Center in Haiti, which was giving to the people of Haiti when they suffered an earthquake. The earthquake demolished, devastated much of what they had. It brought down homes, it wiped away their wealth, as it were. They literally had nothing. No shelter, no food. But the people of this outreach center, who themselves were experiencing homelessness, who also needed care and love, they nonetheless went out of their way to help others who were homeless, who had no food. They had nothing. But out of nothing, in a manner of speaking, they gave something. This is similar to what this woman was doing. She had very little. She needed to use what she was giving on herself. She needed those 2 mites for her own survival. But she emptied her money bag. That's literally what the words she came and threw in 2 mites suggests. It's like she had those mites in a bag, and she literally emptied the money bag and shook it, and there was nothing remaining. She put in what she had. She gave all her livelihood. The rich were giving out of their abundance. They could give much and still have much. This particular rich being described here gave what they did not need. They had too much. They didn't need all that they had. And what they didn't need, they gave away. But this woman gave what she needed for her own survival. Now, I need to be clear, there is nothing wrong with the rich giving much. Jesus doesn't say there was anything wrong with what these people were doing in giving much. He wasn't condemning what they were doing in giving much. He was simply saying, this woman who gave 2 mites gave more than those who were giving much. And the question is, why? Well, she was deemed to have given more because she was rich toward God. That's language borrowed from Luke chapter 12 and verse 21. And being rich toward God is to have God as our riches, to have God as our greatest riches, and that being rich toward God can be shown in the use of earthly riches. In other words, we give to Him however much we give because we have placed a value on Him. What we give, in a way, matches the value we attach to Him. And this woman attached so much value to God that she was willing to give him her livelihood. That's the point we need to appreciate. Those who gave out of their abundance, well, they didn't value him as much as she valued him. They gave what they could spare. Or putting it differently, they gave what they didn't need. They gave what they didn't value. They gave that to God. That's how much they valued God. Well, this woman gave what she had, the only thing she had. She should have been holding on to that, because that is what would have spared her life. That is what would have given her a little something. But she parted with that. She gave it to God, because she valued God more than she valued her own life. She was rich toward God. Some of these rich who were giving would have been the scribes and the Pharisees. We know a lot about them now. Many of them would have been given a giving to show how much they could give. It was about themselves. In fact, when some of them gave, they invited a musician who would blow a trumpet as they walked up to the collection box to go and put their money there. And the trumpeter drew attention to them. People came to see. People came to watch them and to clap for them, because they would have given much. Their giving was about themselves. They gave to show off. This widow was willing to give her last penny to show how much she valued God. And I doubt that anyone paid attention to her giving. There was nothing about it to attract any attention to it. It was only 2 mites. God saw it. People did not see it, would not have seen it, would not have cared about it. They would have looked down on it. But Jesus saw it. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. She was rich toward God. That is the reason, the first reason, why her giving was more. But secondly, she denied herself. She denied herself. And this is a theme the Lord Jesus Christ has been teaching in much of what we've been studying as we have followed his life and ministry. Those who must follow Jesus must be ready to take up their cross and follow him. They must be ready to deny themselves and follow him. And this woman denied herself. Must have been hard to part away with the last coins she had. I remember years ago wanting to attend a good conference in South Africa. It was good because it brought very good speakers from various parts of the world. And I made it a habit to attend that conference every year. But the conference fees were very high. And I didn't have much money. And I remember how each year I paid those fees with great difficulty. I could hear myself saying, ouch, each time I pulled out my rand to pay. It was difficult. But I still had money in my pocket after paying those conference fees. But this woman was going to give away 2 mites, and they were the very last pennies she had. She would have nothing after that. Imagine the difficulty. Imagine the controversy within our own heart. Maybe even the doubt. Should I give? What will become of me? Should I part away with this? What will become of me? If I don't give, surely God will understand. With difficulty, trusting God will provide, she walked up there and dropped her last coins into that box. She was willing to die, to deny herself, and do what she thought was right to God. And she did it. The Dictionary of Bible Themes defines self-denial as, and I quote, the willingness to deny oneself's possessions or status in order to grow in holiness and commitment to God. The willingness to deny oneself possessions, status, could be some other comfort, in order to gain something higher, something better. So the purpose of self-denial is not just to deprive oneself as an end in itself, but to gain, to do something of what Paul did. He says he counted all loss for the sake of gaining Christ. She was prepared to lose for the sake of gaining what she could not lose. A theologian by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German, said in defining self-denial, and I quote, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Come and die. And this is what this poor woman appears to have done. She was giving away her livelihood. Figuratively speaking, when she gave those 2 mites, she died. She died for the sake of saving God. She died for the sake of God's kingdom. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified. This kind of giving, which goes beyond just physical giving, is precious in the sight of God. It's not that the wealthy who were putting in much had no right to put in anything. It is that the money they put there was about them, was an end in itself. It wasn't inspired by love for God. It was an end in itself. But this woman's giving was inspired by her love for God, by the fact that she treasured God more than she treasured herself, and more than she treasured whatever she possessed. And she was willing to invest that into God's work. I want to conclude with a few applications. And there are a number of them. First, we can give out of our abundance and still not be rich toward God. Now, if you have the combination, you have an abundance of wealth and you're also rich toward God, well, that is certainly very valuable, isn't it? But we can give out of our abundance and still not be rich toward God. And in God's eyes, therefore, our giving counts for very little. And this, I believe, is what was happening here. If these rich people who were putting in much were doing it as unto the Lord, were being driven by the fact that they treasured the Lord, Jesus would have commended them. But he says, in fact, it's the giving of that poor woman that counted for something. They gave money that they didn't need. I don't need this. Okay, I'll give it to God. He can have the spare. He can have the things I count not needful. Not important. The leftovers. Is that how you give? What you count important, you won't give. What you count spares, that's what you give. Not just in the realm of money, but in life generally. What is it that you give to God, you dedicate to God? Do you give your best time to God, your best energies to God? Do you give what you consider the best to Him or the worst? And doesn't that say something about what you think about God? About the kind of value you attach to God? We can give out of our abundance and still not be rich toward God. Secondly, the widow's offering, the widow's mites, may have been overlooked by many, because they were too small, too insignificant. God, however, did not overlook her giving. Jesus sat opposite the treasury. He saw how the people put money into the treasury. Isn't that interesting? Jesus was interested in how these people were giving. Sometimes we think money is the unimportant part. Giving is the unimportant part. But Jesus was actually watching how the people put money into the treasury. He was interested. No doubt people were not paying attention to the poor widow. What did she have? What could she do? But Jesus paid attention to her. And he put a very high premium on her giving for the reason that we have already explained. Now, this is important. In terms of our giving, sometimes some of us don't give because we think we are too poor. We have too little. The rich will give. Mr. So-and-so will give. Mrs. So-and-so will give. Or the other will give. We can just sit back. Is it not true that you have more than two mites, but you still don't give? And you have convinced yourself into thinking, well, this will not have any effect on the kingdom of God. Surely God cannot pay attention to my mite. He can. He does. He will. Jesus paid attention to this poor woman and her giving. He particularly paid attention to her attitude, to that which moved her to give. She treasured God. She loved God. She was moved by her love for God. What is it that moves you to give? If you would impress God, it must be your love for Him. It must be the fact that you treasure Him more than anything else. The opposite is true. If you are not willing to give to God at all, to give toward His work at all, in spite of the fact that you have a few mites, well, that speaks of where your heart is. If you cannot, if you are unwilling to invest into the kingdom of God, and God is not saying to you, you must put in so much. God is saying to you, you must determine in your heart what it is you must give. And for this woman, she determined she would give the very last two mites she had. If you make that determination and you give freely, that pleases God. That pleases God. You must pay attention to it, therefore. Thirdly, we must give because we love God enough to give Him anything we have. And if needs be, we will be prepared to give to Him even our own lives. It seems to me that this was the attitude of this poor woman. If her life is all that remained for her to give to God, she would. Would you? If your life is all you had, would you give it to God? Well, I'm saying, if we love God truly, deeply, we would give Him even our lives. Now, the lesson here, and this is an important point, is not that we should give away all our money, 100%. Every last drop. Nowhere does God command you to do that. Rather, the point is that our giving must be an expression of the fact that God is our treasure, our chief treasure. And if we treasure God that much, we would be willing to give Him anything. And we have an example in that. Jesus gave his life because that is what it took for him to do the will of God in saving his people. God had commanded him to save his people. God had called him to save his people. God had expected him to save his elect people. And to do that required the shedding of blood. Imagine that you were in Jesus' shoes. The command is for you to die in order to do this will of God, involving the redeeming of his people. What moved Jesus to do it? To go ahead and shed his blood. Obeying God was more important than his own comfort. Obeying God was more important than overcoming his own fears. Obeying God was more important than his own security. Obeying God was more important than protecting his own life. Father, he says, if you are willing, let me not go through this. Let this cup of suffering pass away from me. Let it go to someone else. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Do you apply that principle in life in general? And do you apply it in giving in particular? You call me to give. I only have two mites. And this is all I have. If I give this away, I will probably die of poverty. I will die of poverty. Nevertheless, if this is what you want me to do, not my will, but yours be done. That's the lesson there. To treasure God and his ways and his word and his commands more than our own comfort and life. I want to end on this note. Ultimately, what we are learning from this poor widow is that we must give with eternity in view. Give with eternity in view. I want to quote two men who expressed this well in their own lives. John Wesley, I've spoken about him before. He encouraged his people to earn as much money as they could. Does that sound ungodly? To earn as much money as they could and to give away as much of that money they earned as they could. Not bad counsel. Earn as much money as you can. Make as much money as you can. Not many of us are good at that. But make as much money as you can. But when you have made it, don't keep it to yourself. And enjoy it only for yourself. John Wesley says, having made it, give as much of it as you can. C.T. Studd. Again, you've heard this quotation before. We have only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what is done for Jesus will last. We have only one life. Only one life. If you must make money, you must make it in this life. If you must give to the work of the Lord, you must do it in this life. and do it because you love God. Do it because you love Jesus. Do it because you care for his glory. You will have no other time and opportunity to do it. No other. This is the only time you have. And sometimes we think, well, I'm young now. I'm going to do this thing when I grow old. You may not grow old. You may die before you are old. This past week, we're burying a young man by the name of Tutu Angulube, 43 years old. He was reasonably wealthy. I'm sure he had hopes of becoming old. But the Lord stopped his life at 43. You have only one life. And what you can be sure of is what you have now. The time you can be sure of is what you have now. Don't wait. Do what you have to do now. Now. And do it for Jesus' sake. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Jesus will last. I'd like to believe this woman understood this. I have only one life. I have only two mites. If that means I must die, so be it. Here I go. Click, click, click. Into the box. God must have blessed her. She is in the glory, not because she gave, but because she treasured Christ. She treasured God more than anything else. May the Lord help us to have our priorities right and to invest in God for Jesus' sake. Amen.